Good morning. Welcome. So glad that you're here. Welcome those of you from our other campuses, as well as those of you who are joining us online. We are in a great series, Relationship Goals. If you have not caught either of the first two installments, well, in week one, we talked about resolving conflict in marriage. You needed it. And week two, we talked about parenting or resolving conflict, part two. Because you add more humans to the house, there's more conflict. It's just part of it. And the parenting thing can be tough, you know. And the reality is that your kids are going to grow, and they're going to go into the world. They're going to move out, and that's going to be a loss. And some are going to move back in, and that's going to be a loss. But that's just reality, right? Well, I actually came across a little statistic here. U.S. Census data from 2014. 35% of Americans 18 to 34 were living with their parents. They were non-contributing adult children living at home. Non-contributing. Sitting on the couch, playing the Xbox, not doing anything to help around the house, not paying a dime of rent. And every now and then a mom will come up and say, I don't know what to do with my son. He just sits around, plays Xbox, and eats all the food, doesn't help around the house. I said, he's got a great life. Way to go, Mom. Kick his butt out. Tell him to get a job, pay rent, and do some work around the house. Now, some of you are 18 to 34, living at home, non-contributing. And right now you're thinking, shut up, dude. I hate this guy. Why did they let him speak here? There's actually a name for this in various countries. I love this. The Italians call them mama's boys. The Japanese call them parasite singles. That's pretty clear. In the U.S., we call them boomerangs. We say, get out of here, and they come back, you know. In the U.K., this is my favorite, kippers. Kids in parents' pockets eroding retirement savings. You lazy mother. But I get to talk about growing in the various seasons that you'll experience in life. Not just summer, winter, fall, that kind of stuff, but all kinds of seasons and transitions that we go through. I'm sure I was asked to do this because I've been through quite a few more seasons than some of the other people that speak here. But I've been learning some things in this process. I'm more patient now than I used to be with like seasons of waiting. Now that I get up 2-3 times a night and wait. Ask your mom on the way home. She'll tell you what that is. Or your dad, more likely. Yeah. Wait. As a matter of fact, I had one guy that said it this way. I pee in Morse code. It's just dots and dashes. That was more information than you wanted, isn't it? My wife Carmen and I have been having a great time over the last little over a year now, and we've been getting to go visit a lot of our network churches and a number of churches that we helped to start over the years. This summer we were in the Midwest and visited a church that we helped start in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and then in a Minneapolis suburb. And it was wonderful to be with these churches, and what a great reflection of two of those healthy, thriving churches that we got to be a part of launching. We were driving in Minnesota, and I got to experience something that I had never experienced before. It was amazing. We're driving along, and out of nowhere, all of a sudden, thunder and lightning and torrential rain and then hail. It just was coming down. I had never been in a summer storm like that before, and it was awesome. I loved it. It was cool, but it got to the point. I'm driving. I'm just going, this is awesome, and Carmen goes, get off the road. We can't see anything, and I did. Took a little side road there and a little neighborhood and tried to, you know, move under some trees to protect the car a little bit, and it was amazing. Matter of fact, I'm old, so I was a little slow on going, oh, I should video this. So I kind of, the hail didn't get part of it, but you'll understand here a little bit about what was facing. Watch this.
Okay, parked on the side of the road in Two Harbors, Minnesota. We pulled off along with a lot of other people off the highway because it has just been lightning, thunder, torrential rain, and man, we have had some big old hail. It just stopped. I got on this recording a little too late. But man, this is just really a cool Minnesota thunderstorm. I'll get back to you if that hail shows up again. You gotta see it.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And finally, when everything, you know, settled down, we pulled out. And like 100 yards in front of us, when we got back on the highway, was this huge tunnel. I didn't know about the tunnel. I couldn't see the tunnel. Everyone else just slid on into the tunnel, sat there and waited it out. They know what they're doing with us. I was completely blinded by this thing, came out of nowhere. I was very grateful that I was driving a rental car with all the little big hail that was hitting that car. I remember turning the car back in and going, they're looking at it. What? I don't know. I don't know what happened. It wasn't me. Well, that unexpected storm, it just stopped us in our tracks. We couldn't move forward. We couldn't see the way forward. And that really is the idea for the big idea for this talk today. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Life's seasonal shifts will be both expected and unexpected. Some seasons are predictable. If you've got kids in your house, at some point you're going to face the empty nest. It's predictable. But a lot of these seasons that come our way, they come out of nowhere, like that summer storm. We just didn't expect it. Matter of fact, let's read this first verse together from Genesis 8. And if you're a guest, we do this with our outside voices, parent viewing room, shout it out, out on the patio. If you are online at a Starbucks, with your earbuds in, just shout it out. Trust me, it'll be great. Ready? Go. As long as the earth endures, that is so lame. Those are not outside voices. Some of you weren't doing it at all because you think you're cool. You're not. Ready? Go. As long as the earth endures, nothing will put a stop to planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. God has established the seasons, but he's also established that there's a number of other kinds of seasons that we're going to go through, relational, emotional, spiritual, all kinds of seasons. Life's seasonal shifts can be disorienting, or discouraging and disorienting. That's just true. Write it down. Discouraging and disorienting. It's just a part of life. A career stalls, or the debt is mounting, you have a health crisis. There's all kinds of seasons. You lose a loved one, and grief comes crashing down. All these are different kinds of seasons that we'll all experience in life. You can't control when they happen. You can't control how long they last. We just have to learn to walk through them. And sometimes we think, well, why is this happening? I don't understand it. You know, we really rarely understand what's happening at the beginning. But as we look back on life, we often have a lot of understanding as we gain perspective and wisdom and experience along the way. However, some things happen that we will just never understand while we are on this planet. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He does everything just right and on time. Not talking about your husbands right now. This is about God. He does everything just right and on time, but people can never completely understand what he is doing. I know that when I was in the middle of a season experiencing panic attacks and insomnia, it was a very, very discouraging and totally disorienting season of my life. I didn't understand. I wondered, what are you doing? And I really was wondering if God even cared. I began to have just a lot of doubts about whether he cared about me in that situation at all. And then some anger was attached to that. I didn't know why it was continuing and how to move forward in this depressive state. And it made me mad. I was kind of offended. It was unfair. It just seemed unfair that I, because I'm such a good dude, why would I be going this? Well, the fact is, today we live in an offended culture. Everybody's offended about something. We're so quick to demand respect or fairness, and so we just lash out at anything, any slight, anything we disagree with. We express it in road rage or on social media, and just, ah! And I had a friend that had an observation. He said this: if you're easily offended, you'll be easily defeated. If we allow all of these words and actions of other people to dictate how we feel and how we respond, we're going to spend a great deal of our life trying to undo those responses. Because we're going to jump to wrong conclusions. We're going to end up in a place where we're just stressed and tensed and mad. It's a bad way to live, and we don't have to do it. Over the years, I've talked to a lot of people who, in a difficult season, decided that God wasn't there for them and decided to set that aside and say, I'm not going to follow God. They're angry, and sometimes for good reason: abuse, loss, failure. It's a discouraging season, and there's pain, and sometimes that gets directed to God. Life's seasonal shifts can also, though, be enriching and rewarding. Enriching and rewarding. See, God can bring good to every season of your life. The lonely seasons, the sad seasons, those seasons of failure, of grief, and on, all of them. Look at Romans 8. We are confident that God is able to orchestrate everything to work towards something good and beautiful when we love Him and accept His invitation to live according to His plan. Now, don't misunderstand this verse. God does not have to plan the problems in my life. I'm awesome at creating problems in my life. He doesn't have to go, now what am I going to do to really jack up his life this week? I do that on my own. God is not the author of evil or pain in my life. But he can bring his purpose for good to every season I'm facing, if I will follow him. That means that every season, no matter how dark, how shameful, how bad, how guilty, no matter how bitter I want to get, God can bring good out of it. Now, this verse also, it doesn't say that all things are good. Not all things are good in this world. So it's not the idea that, oh, this is great. My car just blew up and it's on fire on the side of the road. Praise the Lord. That's stupid. Okay, I'm sorry. That whole, that's faith. That's you're an idiot, okay? That's not what you need to do. But in the middle of it, we can still trust. Well, I don't know how I'm going to fix or replace this thing. Well, God, help. I'm gonna trust that you're gonna make a way. I don't know what that looks like right now, but I choose to trust you. And if you want to treat your car like that, fine. It's yours. See, when we're willing to give God the pieces in those seasons, then we give him room to bring good from it. God is able to orchestrate everything to work towards something good and beautiful. And I know that there's probably many of us here today that you would say, right now, the season that you're in is not beautiful. Maybe you'd say, my finances are ugly. My health feels ugly. And my relationships have gotten ugly. But God can make something good out of it if you'll give him the pieces. Now, I don't know who said this originally. It's been attributed to many people, this quote. So it was probably me. I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to reach my destination. Are you interruptible? Are you willing to adjust even when things don't go the way that you wanted? Even when life is difficult, confusing, disorienting? Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. At just the right time, don't stop. You see, I sow in one season and I reap in another season. You plant in the spring, you harvest in the fall. That's how it works. But in our, you know, we got to have it now society, instant gratification, we want to plant in the morning and harvest in the afternoon. And it doesn't work that way. The way that I am responding now to the season that I'm facing is going to have a great deal to do with what I reap in the future. So what path are you on in the season you're in? How are you doing? How can God make the most of this season and grow you in the middle of it? I want to look at four growth choices that you can make in any season that'll be helpful. The first one is this: trust in God's love and intentions for you. Trust in God's love and intentions for you. This is just so very foundational to growing through whatever season you find yourself in. You begin with trust. Even when you don't get it, even when you don't understand, when it's that long, slow, difficult season, choosing to trust in His love and that He can bring good out of it, that He can bring His purposes to bear in your life, even when it's all going wrong. There are some things that we only learn through experience. You know, the school of hard knocks. Some of you have graduated from that school. Others of you have master's degrees. Some of you have doctorates in the school of hard knocks. Deuteronomy 11 says, "Remember today what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with Him." We learn about how God operates. We learn to trust Him through trusting Him in the experiences we're facing today, in the stuff you're looking at right now. Not just in what you read about Him, although reading is good, keep doing that. Not just in what you've heard about Him from others, although that's good too. Learn from others' experiences, but you have to have your own. You need to have your own experience. To grow in the shifting seasons, you've got to have one basic truth under your belt. God will never waste a hurt. Even though He doesn't author the pain, He can use it for good in your life. You'll grow. Don't waste it by turning away in the middle of that difficult season. Remember today what you have learned about the Lord through the experience, through your experiences with Him. So what does God want me to learn then? Well, lots of things. But there's one thing that He wants every one of us to learn in the middle of those shifting seasons. It's found in 2 Corinthians 1. "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And He did rescue us from mortal danger, and He will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in Him, and He will continue to rescue us." You're going to go through all kinds of difficult experiences in your life. And if you'll allow it, one of the things that you'll draw from it, foundational truth, is to trust God. You'll learn to trust God in the middle of it. There are times in your life when the only thing that you have left is God. And then you learn that He's all you need, that He will see you through what you're facing. Second choice, prioritize your primary relationships. Our Western emphasis on independence and autonomy, and I'm my own person, and that push toward that level of independence has resulted in an ever-increasing plague of loneliness in our country. the problem of this fight between autonomy on the one hand and interdependence. Interdependence with one another, especially for those of you who are married. That idea of being interdependent is crucial to your healthy relationship. One of the resources I had at the end of the outline there is a book called Wired for Love by Stan Tatkin. And he suggests couples create an intimate environment that makes some implicit guarantees to one another, okay? He calls it the couple bubble, that within this, we're together in this. We are interdependent. And he had a long list. I sort of cherry-picked his list. Here's just some ideas, the kinds of things that he said. We need to make these implicit guarantees to one another. Here's one. I will never leave you. Another. I will never frighten you purposely. When you are in distress, I will relieve you, even if I'm the one causing the distress. Ooh. Our relationship is more important than my need to be right. I have screwed up almost everything on that list at different times. You see, this idea of interdependence promotes the confidence, the ability to be able to say, I am safe and I am loved. That is super important in your primary relationships, that you be able to say that, and that those others in your life, especially your spouse, would be able to say, I am safe and I am loved. Our focus on self has put happiness on hold, because we want to wait for all the problems to get solved. So we're waiting. We're getting ready to be happy. But it doesn't quite happen. Because, well, you know what? When this kid is out of diapers, then I'll be happy. When the job comes through, then I'll be happy. When he or she gets it together, then I'll be happy. When we have kids, then I'll be happy. When the kids move out, then I'll be happy. And we keep waiting and waiting and waiting for this to occur. But you know what? The Bible encourages us that regardless of the season you're in, that we can be thankful and joyful, no matter the season. 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. We can only do that, though, when we make that choice that says, I'm going to trust that you love me. Even when I don't get it, even when I don't feel it, I'm going to trust that you love me and that your intentions for me are so good. I don't need to be reluctant to trust you. I can go all in. We can live with this conviction that he really is good all the time. And when we hold on to the faith that he can bring good even from the bad, even the bad that I caused, which is most of the bad in my life, not necessarily all of it, but all of it he can use. One of the most pivotal concepts in life is that time is life and life is short. Write this verse down. It's not on your outline. James 4:14 says this, how do you know what will happen tomorrow? What, after all, is your life? It's like a puff of smoke, visible for a little while and then disappearing into thin air. You know, one of the fallacies that we live with sometimes when we're in the middle of a difficult season is, well, I got time. You know, I'll get to the priorities later. I'll do what I really need to do, but I've got time. We have this little puff of smoke, and then it's gone. And you're going to have to make some tough choices in those seasons about what's really important at this particular time, in this particular season. A friend of mine, a pastor who is one of my favorite authors, he's a guy, Larry Osborne, and he pastors a church in North County. And he had a group of pastors at his home, and we were just having some meetings. And he said something. I wrote it down. It was just so good about this idea of prioritizing the season you're in. He said, "I delayed my writing career because of the time and attention required to be a dad and husband while raising a family. I now have the margin in my schedule to write, and because of the added years of life experience, I have a whole lot more to say." You see, there were limitations that he embraced. He had a dream. He loved this idea of writing, publishing. But he put that on hold because he had other priorities in the season that he was in at that time. Are you willing to do that? When you look at your life, you need to know what's most important today. What's most important now? Because otherwise we end up wasting our life. We don't get around to anything. We spend half our time regretting the past and the other half worrying about the future. So we're like me in that storm, having to sit it out and wait for everything to clear before I move. There's good and bad in every season. There's negatives, there's limitations, but there's also great joys that will only be had in that season. There's great personal growth that will only happen in that season if you'll trust him. The point is found in Philippians 4. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Can you say that? Well, Paul had to learn it. So do we. It takes practice. This is the moment that I'm living in. If you're wise, you'll begin to fully embrace this season and prioritize together. Interdependent. Third choice, communicate clearly and often. Some of you will be saying, "Oh, man, whenever we communicate, it's a fight. Turns into a struggle." Then you need to communicate more. Well, that sounds fun. So you got to learn how, though. And you only do it by doing it. You only learn it as you're learning it. A large number of my friends, English is not their first language. As a result, we often have a lot of laughs about our miscommunications with each other, because there's a lot of them. A couple years ago, during one of our relationship series, I did the sex talk that weekend. And I got home on Sunday, I'm sitting on the couch, I'm watching football, and a text came in from this friend. And she sent it to me. She also sent it to my wife and to her husband. And I changed the names. By the way, it's not Maria and Juan. If you are here and you're a couple and you're Maria and Juan, I'm sorry. This was totally random, okay? So I got this text. Maria says, "Mike, your sex service was so good. We should meet for dinner. When are you available?" I said, Carmen, grab your phone. You've got to see this. And immediately, Juan responded, "It sounds like she's hitting on you." That's my wife's English for you. Yeah. Communicate clearly and often. Here's the problem. The problem is that your spouse, the primary relationships in your life, there's another language that they speak. You see, we have, all of us, me, you, everybody, we all have a first language called self-protection. That's our first language. We tend to hear and speak through our hurt. We're protecting our heart. Do you know the words and phrases that trigger fear or anger in your spouse? Are you aware of what those words are? Maybe you are and you use them. Things like, "You're just like your mom." You're just like your dad. You always, you never. Do you know the words? You see, after we say, I do, you're saying, I choose you. I choose you. And then, often unknowing, what we're also saying is, I choose who you're going to become. I choose that you're going to be the kind of person that is growing, and that we're going to become an increasingly interdependent. Because if you don't make that choice, you will go separately. Why? Because I'm going to be my own person. This idea of autonomy, independence, is going to breed loneliness. Does that mean you don't become your own person, that you just are lost in another person's life? No, that's not what I'm suggesting at all. I'm suggesting you become you-ier when we're willing to risk the interdependence. We actually become more of who we're to be. Now, this takes clear and regular communication. That's how you learn a language. Repetition. You keep doing it. You figure it out. Some of you, though, it may be so volatile at this point, you need to get a third party involved. And many of you already know a lot about my story over the years, but if you're new around here, I want you to know that that counseling really helped my marriage. My wife needed counseling. She's not here. So I'm very brave. You may need to become bilingual. You might need some help in the process. Proverbs 20. Knowing what is right is like deep water in the heart. A wise person draws from the well within. You see, we were created to love and to hope deeply. That's part of our DNA. But our hearts, through experiences that have been painful, they can become calloused. And we don't want to risk feeling because it hurts. So we hide it deep in our hearts, and sometimes we can't even remember what's in there. Knowing what is right is like deep water in the heart. A wise person draws from the well within. Kristen Armstrong said this, "When everything is moving and shifting, the only way to counteract chaos is stillness. When the surface is wavy, dive deeper for quieter waters." Around here, we've promoted this idea of silence, solitude, and stillness. I want to suggest to you that if we're going to get good at this communication with the people in our lives, we need to begin by learning to communicate with our Father, learning to embrace His Spirit. And that happens when we take a step back from the chaos and the busyness and learn to talk to Him and listen to Him in silence. And solitude and stillness, that place of peace becomes the platform for the other points of communication and relationship that we have in our lives. Otherwise, we just go from stress to stress. One of the other books in there I put as a resource is a book called Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. You know, the idea being that zebras out on the plains are just, you know, eating grass and chilling, right? And then all of a sudden, the lion pride attacks and they're on the run. But they know when they're safe, too. The problem in our culture is that some of us have experienced so much pain and there's so much trauma and drama out there that we're always stressed. And we get ulcers. And it causes relational breakdown. And a whole lot of anger. And we need to be able to come to that place of peace. I recommend silence, solitude, and stillness, that growing connection with God. Learning at that point to listen to Him helps us learn to listen to the people in our lives as well. Learn their language. Okay, last growth choice. Start today. Make a choice to grow. One of the things that can help you grow is actually serving the people in your life. What good can you do in the season that you're in right now? Not waiting. Well, I'll do so much good later. Right now, it'll help you grow. Help someone face the season maybe that you're in right now or have already been through. Maybe face it together. Proverbs 3, whenever you're able, do good to people who need help. I heard about one growth group that's happening in our church. Laura Randall started a growth group for people who are in or close to the empty nest. And that's them, that picture is of them giving care packages, sending them off to their kids in college. And they're navigating this season together, supporting each other in this process of letting go. Now, that's a women's group. The men are all smoking cigars and having a beer. I don't know. They're celebrating at a whole other level. But matter of fact, I'm not done, but would you grab that connection card that's in your program? This is a great tool for connecting the dots when it comes to this. Matter of fact, even just on the back there, this week I will. We'd love to pray with you and for you as you make some choices, take some steps in your life this week. Make some choices today. We'd love to be a part of that and help you, and maybe even help you connect with other people that can walk with you. Don't wait. Ecclesiastes 11. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Don't wait for it all to get tied up in a bow. Start growing now. Start living in the season you're in now, not waiting. Don't wait to feel safe and loved. You don't have to, because God loves you. You can feel safe and secure in that love. Not some weird, oh, God's going to protect me from all bad stuff. I'll never experience anything bad because I'm safe. I'm safe. God will never let anything. That's stupid. We're all going to go through stuff. But you see, He says, I'll be with you. I'll see you through this. I mean, Paul, we read his words, you know. We learn to rely on Him only, and He rescued us, and He will rescue us again. I want you to know something. Paul's dead. They killed him. There's a piece of good news for you, huh? You see, the reality is, none of us are getting out of this life alive. Look down your row. They're all dead. They're all going to die. Everybody. Aren't you glad you came today? You see, this is not all there is. We can experience this amazing, unconditional, without reservation love right now and forever. Don't miss those seasons of learning to grow in that love with God and with those primary relationships in your life. Trust His love. He is absolutely good all the time. Now, we're going to close with one last song. And before we get there, I'd like to take a moment and have you consider, what's a good step I could take in this process? What's on my heart? And I want to just take a moment of silence, stillness, and solitude in a room full of people. Maybe just close your eyes for a moment and let's just be still. Jesus, we want to learn to listen, to reflect and connect with you who loves us without reservation. We worship you, the one who is Lord of all the seasons, expected and the unexpected. Amen.